Hey, everyone, and welcome back to Practically Zero Waste, a podcast for making zero waste living as practical as possible. I'm your host, Elspeth Callahan, and this week I had some nice feedback from listeners about how good it is to hear that zero waste living isn't all smooth sailing on my end of things, despite being the host of this podcast and encouraging others to adopt zero waste principles wherever they can. I'm so glad that you find me relatable, and maybe you'll find me even more relatable after this episode, because we're about to sort through a total of 4 days of my household's trash from last week. You probably won't find anything too shocking in there, and if you want a list of the main zero waste swaps that I have adopted, you can check out episode 55 with my friend Teresa, where we talk about lots of alternatives. Really, I feel like this trash audit just paints a realistic picture of where it's hard to reduce single-use plastic waste when it comes to budget, mental capacity, and access during a lockdown. Let's dive right in with a high-level list off the start. There's a couple receipts, cheese wrappers, pouches from some craft dinner. Yep, I ate that. Non-recyclable plastics like some milk bags, rice pouches, a freezer bag, packing tape, plastic seal from the top of a jar, cracker bag, the plastic window of a bread bag, plastic wrap from grocery items, the top of a yogurt tub, fruit stickers, old broken elastics, there's a styrofoam plate, chocolate bar wrapper, glitter-covered art, a few things that, like, used tissues, a couple broken jars and a plate, and three disposable diapers. So, right off the top, I think Catherine Kellogg's book, Going Zero Waste, was where I read that receipts have a toxin on them that is not only incrementally harming cashiers, but also isn't something that we want mixing into our recycled paper products, so they go in the trash around here. But other than some Kleenex, bits of tape, my kids' glitter glued and stickered art from daycare, sorry, can't keep it all, the rest of what's in there is food packaging in some capacity. So that's what's in my trash can, and that's just 4 days. So it felt like maybe kind of a lot for a zero waste household, quote unquote, to be producing that much in 4 days, but I mean, it's been probably pretty steadily that much every 4 days for the last little while. And there would be other random stuff in there on other days, I'm sure. But for now, that paints a bit of a picture of what we're throwing out. Of course, this doesn't include even what's in our recycling or what's in our compost, but a trash audit is a good place to start. And I don't need to air all my dirty laundry on the internet to prove the point that we're all just finding the balance and doing what we can. What was so helpful for me in doing this trash audit was that I think it might be my very first literal audit where I laid out each bit of whatever garbage I had and wrote a detailed list of what I found. I think in the past I've just done kind of, oh, I know that I've got cheese wrappers in there, or I've got this thing in there, and I've never actually written it down before. Having that detailed list wasn't something to shame me for my shopping choices, or a way for me to go through and justify away all my purchases. We'll be like, oh, I'm allowed to buy that because of this. It wasn't to do any of that. I know my circumstances and what I'm capable of this week, and I know that there are both places that I can improve and places that I'm right on track, though trash is still a side effect. In the last few months, I think that I've enjoyed buying a few more prepackaged things from the grocery store that we previously just lived without. It's not like I used to make crackers and now just buy them in packaging. We just didn't have them, but they've been added occasionally to our snack circulation. The same thing with yogurt. Making yogurt can be complicated, and you have to be willing to be faced with a bit of food waste in the event that your fermented milk doesn't work out, which feels more painful to me than just not eating yogurt or buying it in packaging. But it's all about the balance. If making something from home isn't something you have the time, resources, or energy for, you can choose the next best solution. Maybe that's decreasing your consumption of that product or buying something in the least amount of packaging you can find. Maybe there's just a short list of things that you aren't able to do without right now, and that's okay too. My example of this is cheese. Sure, I like cheese and will choose local or organic options in as many areas of my shopping as possible, but when my toddler eats almost half a block of cheese a week, because it's healthy for him, it's an easy snack to offer, and something I know will tide him over until the next meal more than just fruit, buying a local or organic cheese is just not financially, is just not feasible for us right now, and that's okay. I want everyone to be able to reduce waste in whatever small or big ways that they can. To say that if you can't buy local organic cheese package-free, then you don't belong in the Zero Waste Club is exclusive and unnecessary. Here are a few ways that I would like to try and improve in my low-waste journey this year. Number one, I would like to drive less as a family and to make the bus or a bike ride part of the adventure. My kid has recently learned how to say bus, and it's kind of awesome. He's obsessed. I would like to learn how to make bread better. Bread is something that is obnoxiously cheap to make, around 75 cents Canadian worth of flour to make two loaves, and the alternative always seems to be in plastic or package-free and expensive. Learning how to make bread properly is something that would not only make me more low waste, it would also make me potentially more generous. Going to someone's house, here's a loaf of bread. Number three, I want to learn how to insulate our apartment better and keep the heat lower in order to reduce our carbon footprint. That means lots of sweaters and socks. Number four, I want to help others to compost by offering my backyard compost as a drop-off spot through the Share Waste app, of course. I'll put the episode link for that in the show notes if you want to learn more. Number five, is that what I'm at? I want to donate items to the little free pantry on my street every time I go grocery shopping. These may seem like small things, all of which have little to do with my trash audit from today, but we should all know by now that while reducing waste is our goal, reducing our carbon emissions and reducing food waste, all while bolstering our community and feeding the people, are going to have a larger impact that goes beyond my personal trash output. That's all from me this week. If you want to check out any of the episodes I mentioned in our episode today, I actually only mentioned one, but I thought I had written more. You can find them in our archives wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to be in touch, you can send me an email at practicallyzerowaste@gmail.com or find me on Instagram at practicallyzerowastepod. If you want to support the show, you can do so by leaving a rating and review over at Apple Podcasts or by buying me a virtual cup of coffee over at coffee.com/AsWithCallahan. The link is in the show notes. That's all, guys. Get outside, no matter the weather. Call a friend you haven't talked to in ages. Fix something that's broken. Watch the birds. Have a great week, everyone, and talk to you soon.